There's a real interesting undercurrent that is taking place in the Muslim world. And that undercurrent is one that you very seldom hear about. We talk about it from time to time on this program. I have shared with you that the largest ethnic group in the world to be without their own homeland, without a independent country to call their own, isn't the mythical people known as the Palestinians. There are no Palestinians. It's not an ethnic group. It's not a national group. They're just Muslims. It's actually the Kurds. And the Kurds, who are Sunni Muslims, are and have been abused by the Turks for a very long time, and the Iraqis, and the Iranians. And the Kurds have not exactly ingratiated themselves to any of their host countries. You know, the PPK PKK is a terrorist group that the Kurds use to harass Turkey. During the Iran-Iraq wars, the Kurds turned on Saddam Hussein, turned on their own country, Iraq, and received guns from Iran and became an internal thorn inside of Iraq, fighting Iraq in Iraq with Iraqis using Iranian weapons. That's why Saddam Hussein gassed the town that was central to that treason. The United States, when it invaded Iraq, was confronted with this reality that the Kurds want a homeland. There's some 40 million of them in the world. They want a homeland. The natural place to give them a homeland would be eastern Turkey, northern Iraq. And the United States just said, absolutely not, no way. They wanted an inclusive government, which had a 0% possibility of occurring. Inclusive government would be to have the 1 million Christians, the 2 million, 3 million Kurds, the million or so about Zoroastrians, then the majorities of Shiites and the minority Sunni Muslims, all forming a universal government where they all shared power and shared authority and treated each other with respect. Now, that was an absolute illusion, a complete delusion. And it has turned out exactly as it was obvious it would. America was just stupid in pursuing that strategy. And so now you have the Kurds that are being armed by America. We're providing them with a massive amount of weaponry. And we're doing so because they claim that they are the best protectors of Iraq from the Islamic State. Now, they got into this position by lying, by grossly exaggerating the plight of the Zoroastrians, and then said, you know, we're the ones that can drive the Islamic State away and protect these minority religious interests. Now, they were unwilling to protect, by the way, the Christians who have been annihilated. Now, none of them left. And most of the Zoroastrians have fled. But the Kurds want to defend this region in the north that they are now identifying with their own homeland. But they're never going to be satisfied with that. They're going to also want eastern Turkey. So out of Syria, as they attack the Islamic State with the weapons America is providing, the Islamic State is responding and devastating them. And so what's happening now is in Turkey, because Turkey is not willing, even as a NATO alliance member, Turkey is not willing to let the United States or any other NATO member use its airfields to engage and bomb in Syria. And it's really hard to engage in Syria and exclude access from Turkey. So the Kurds are rioting in Turkey. There were some 15 Kurds some 15 million Kurds that collectively are beginning to turn to violent protests. 35 of them were killed yesterday alone. They're engaged now in looting and vandalism. And so with Turkey being unwilling to aid and abet the Kurds in their fight against the Islamic State, the Kurds are having a conniption fit. And, of course, so are the Americans, because the Americans want to use the Turkish bases, but Turkey doesn't want to aid and abet the Kurds. They'd just as soon the Islamic State wipe the Kurds out to the last. So we have quite a mess here. And there is no way to fix this mess. And providing arms to the Kurds and their jihadi group called Embrace Death is not going to prevail. And the Kurds are really at the end of their rope. They think they have nothing to lose. So they're looting, they're burning, they're breaking, they're destroying. And they're, you know, fighting to the death against the Islamic State. All the while, America is bombing on behalf of the Kurds against the Islamic State. And just as I had predicted, rather than that having a negative effect on the Islamic State, it's having a tremendously positive effect on the Islamic State. They're growing much more successful. As an example of that, in the Anbar province, some 180,000 people have had to flee, mostly Shia Muslims, have had to flee the Anbar province because the Islamic State has been vastly more successful at imposing its will throughout the Anbar province, which is just west of Baghdad. And recently, particularly with the United States engaged in bombing runs around Fallujah, the Islamic State fighters have extended their military reach now much closer to Baghdad because of it. And they have hugely increased the number of refugees. So this has raised concerns in the West, because it's close to Baghdad. And it demonstrates that since America has started bombing the Islamic State and declared war on the Islamic State, that the Islamic State has become much more successful. And it's on the verge of not only taking the towns along the Turkish border in northern Syria that were annoying it, but it just took over one of Iraq's largest army bases, the base where America was most involved training Shiite Iraqis to resist the Islamic State, was just captured by the Islamic State. And to soften up the beachhead for portions, at least, of Baghdad being infiltrated by the Islamic State, not only has the Islamic State taken over the area around Abu Ghraib, they're now perpetrating suicide bombings on a regular basis. Just yesterday alone, 30 people were killed, and about five times that number were mutilated in a series of attacks perpetrated by the Islamic State in Baghdad. The day before, 45 people were killed. Now, as a result of the fighting and airstrikes in the Anbar province, carried out by the Iraqi government and the U.S.-led military coalition, since that time, 180,000 civilians have had to flee and are now refugees. In other words, what we have done has been overwhelmingly counterproductive. Also, along the Syrian border, simultaneously, the Islamic State has launched a series of suicide bombings. And some of those suicide bombings have been entire trucks filled with explosives, taking out a city block. So the American strategy, as I told you it would, has been counterproductive. America has done the wrong thing, and we've done it for the wrong reasons. We are aiding and abetting on one side Sunni Mujahideen to take out Assad and providing them with weapons. And then with the other hand, we're using American weapons to destroy those that we've given the weapons to and the weapons themselves. Now, America has had a bad habit of manufacturing its next enemy. But never has America armed an enemy that it was fighting openly at exactly the same time. This is a next story. Comes from Iraq. It helps shed some light on just the individual anguish of what is occurring there in this country that America broke. The anguish in Iraq and Syria today is all a direct result of America's invasion. And if you're a pro-military American, pro-government American, if you voted for George W. Bush or for his successor, the Obamanator, you should be embarrassed, because what has happened in Iraq is 100% the responsibility of America. We invaded the country. We broke the country. We unleashed this hell. A young Yazidi girl, she would be a Zoroastrian, rocked apprehensively as she described the ordeal that took her from her family, snatched her from her home by fundamentalist Muslims in Iraq, then sold her as a slave in Syria before finally escaping back to Turkey. We're going to cover this story when Shattering Myths continues after the break. Now, before we get into this real story, she was kidnapped. She's 15 years old. Now, you have to think about how perverted somebody has to be to kidnap a 15-year-old girl for the express purpose of selling her as a slave, and then to find a buyer for a 15-year-old slave. Now, I understand that there's a small slave trade that simmers up around the world, and there's occasionally people that are outside of the Islamic world that are kidnapped, enslaved, and sold and traded as slaves. I understand that happens. But it's never happens with the society and those empowered condoning it, but always with them trying to free the enslaved and hunting down the enslavers. But in Islam, since Muhammad kidnapped, since Muhammad enslaved, since Muhammad sold slaves, since he ransomed those he kidnapped, since Muhammad had sex raping little girls that he had captured, and since all of these things are glorified in the Islamic hadith and Quran, and since the Quran tells Muslims to follow Muhammad's example, what you have in the Islamic world is an endorsement of these hideous behaviors. So I want you to keep that in mind, that this is not an isolated case, nor is this something that runs afoul of the leadership. The 15-year-old girl is now left with what is left of her family. Two of her brothers and some of her more distant relatives, living in a makeshift roadside shelter in this tiny village in northern Iraq, along with other families scattered by the onslaught from the militant group, and they say militant group as opposed to Islamic group, Muslim group, known as the Islamic State. Her two sisters remain in the militants' hands. Now we use the correct term, mujahideens, or jihadist hands. So her two sisters are still kidnapped, enslaved. And her father and other brothers and other male relatives have vanished, their fates unknown. Imagine the trauma. The girl was among hundreds of women and little girls from the Yazidi religious minority captured by the Islamic State in early August when they overran her hometown of Sinjar in northwestern Iraq. Hundreds were killed in the attack. Tens of thousands fled for their lives as refugees. Most of the Kurdish-held parts of, northern Iraq. Iraq's Human Rights Ministry said at the time that hundreds of women were abducted by the militants who considered the Yazidis devil worshippers. They were abducted not because they were devil worshippers, and they're really not. It's Zoroastrian is just one of many of the world's ridiculous religions. It was the national religion of Persia, though, for a very long time. There's a fair amount of Zoroastrianism that made it into to Islam. They were kidnapped because Muhammad doled out little girls to his mujahideen to be sex slaves, very much like the Japanese in World War II. The Associated Press spoke to the girl and several other young women who escaped captivity by the Islamic State. Also, while the specifics of their stories could not be independently confirmed, they reflected circumstances that are consistent with those that have been reported. They each independently painted a similar picture of how the Islamic militants scattered them around the broad swath of territory controlled by the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq and sold the girls to the group's foreign fighters and other supporters as sex slaves. Their stories stand in contrast with the growing number of teenage girls making the journey to Iraq to join the Islamic State. Yeah, there's thousands of Muslim girls who are so incredibly depraved mentally and morally. They're actually traveling to Iraq and Syria to become engaged in sexual jihad, to satiate the carnal desires of these murderers, all in the name of their perverted religion. 50 British women and girls, for example, have all left Britain to be a sex slave. For weeks after being kidnapped from Sinjar by the fundamentalist Muslims, the 15-year-old girl and two of her sisters were shifted from one place to another. The girl did not want to be named for fear of reprisals against her relatives who are still being held by the Islamic fundamentalists. As she told her story, the girl rubbed her hands and avoided eye contact, but she spoke decisively and clearly, never hesitating when asked questions. She asked her relatives to leave the room, saying she was more comfortable speaking alone. First, she said that she and other girls were taken to the nearby town of Tal Afar, where she was kept in the Badash prison. Now, she did nothing wrong. She's a 15-year-old little girl. She was kidnapped by fundamentalist Muslims. When the U.S. airstrikes began around the town of Tal Afar, the Islamic fundamentalists took her and many other girls that they had kidnapped to the Islamic State's biggest stronghold, to Mosul. the second largest city in Iraq. From the city of Mosul, she and her sisters were taken to the capital of the Islamic State, which is the Syrian city of Raqqa, where they were held as prisoners with many other abducted girls. They took the girls, all of us, to Syria to sell us, she said, her body hunched over as she spoke. I was sold in Syria. I stayed about 5 days with my two sisters. Then one of my sisters was sold and taken back to Mosul, and I remained in Syria. Now, so not only do we have fundamentalist Islamic thugs kidnapping little girls, but we have the community of Muslims in Syria and Iraq buying sex lives. This is when my blood boils, when you have someone like Affleck pretending that it's unfair to speak badly of Islam. It's not just the Islamic State. They wouldn't have kidnapped these girls if there wasn't someone to sell them to. In Raqqa, she said, she was first sold to a Palestinian man. Yes, America and other nations just gave $5.4 billion to fundamentalist Islamic terrorists operating as Hamas in Gaza and as the Islamic State in Syria. I told you there was no difference between Hamas and the Islamic State. Here you have an Hamas member in Syria. He bought this sex life. Isn't that repulsive? You know, wonder how much of the world's generosity, American generosity, filtered down to this man whose only job is to be a jihadist so that he could purchase this 15-year-old girl to be a sex slave. Something to think about as you give your tax dollars to America and they use it to reward this kind of behavior. I was sold to a Palestinian man. She claims that she shot him, saying that the Palestinian's Iraqi housekeeper, who was in a dispute with the man, because Muslims treat everyone horribly, helped her by giving her a gun. She fled, but had nowhere to run. So she went to the only place she knew, she said, the house where she was first held with the other girls in Raqqa. Now she is 15 years old, after all. There, the militants did not recognize her and sold her off again, this time for $1,000, to a Saudi Arabian fighter. Yeah, a Saudi Arabian jihadist. Yes, indeed. A Saudi Arabian jihadist. You know, the Saudi Arabians, their religious leaders are saying, oh boy, bad Islamic State, bad Islamic State. Well, they provided an enormous number of jihadists for the Islamic State. Sold them off to a Saudi and to other men, all to use as a sex slave. The story is hard to read. This Saudi Arabian jihadist said, I'm going to change your name to Abir so your mother doesn't recognize you. You will become a Muslim. I will own you. He says, but I refused to become a Muslim and I fled. She said that she saw the Islamic State jihadists at the time taking a powdered drug. So she poured it into the tea and she served it to the Saudi man that had bought her as a sex slave and to his fellow Saudis that were also using her as a sex slave and caused them to fall asleep. Yes, drugs. It's something they're also doing with American money. Then she fled. She found a man who would drive her to Turkey to meet her brother. Her brother then borrowed $2,000 from friends to pay the smuggler to get them both back into Iraq. They ended up in Makluba, a tiny roadside hamlet just outside of the Dahusk. The other women who spoke to the Associated Press described difficult conditions where the Islamic jihadists would deprive them of food, deprive them of water. They would deprive them even of a place to sit down. They would have to stand up all of the time. They all reported having seen dozens of other Yazidi women and children, some as young as 5 years old, kidnapped and sold as slaves. Amsha Ali, a 19-year-old, said she was taken from Sinjar to Mosul. Ali was around 6 months pregnant at the time. The last she saw of her husband and the other men in her family was as she was being dragged off by the Islamic State. It was the scene of the militants forcing them to lie on the ground so they could shoot them in the back of the head. Ali agreed to be identified, saying that she wanted the ordeals of the women to be known. In Mosul, she said that she and other women were taken to a house full of Islamic State jihadists to be sold off as sex slaves. Each of them took one of us for themselves, she said. She was given to a jihadist. She said that she was never raped by the man, like mostly because of her pregnancy, but she witnessed all of the other girls being raped with great regularity. These are thugs, these Islamic jihadists, who condemn the West of being morally corrupt. And yet they engage in kidnap and selling the little girls off as slaves and rape, torture, mass murder. After several weeks, she was able to slip out of a bathroom window at night and escape. A Mosul resident who found her in the streets helped her get out of the city to nearby Kurdish territory. She said she tried to convince other women to flee with her, but they were too afraid because they were so terrified. He says, now I know nothing of them. She and her father and surviving sister live in an unfurnished building in the town of Sharia, where some 5,000 Yazidis refugees live. The killing was not the hardest thing for me, she said, of seeing fellow Yazidis slain in the assault. Even though they forced my husband, brother-in-law, and father-in-law to lie on the ground to be murdered before my eyes, and it was painful. But being forced to, we'll put in quotes, marry the militant was the worst of all. That was the hardest thing for me. That, Ben, is Aflac is Islam up close and personal. Are all Muslims that way? No. Was Muhammad like that? Absolutely. Is it possible to be a good Muslim and act any other way? No. Can you be a bad Muslim and be a decent person? Certainly. But the problem, Ben Aflac, and those who would defend Islam, is that since Muhammad was just like these men, a jihadist, a mass murderer, a kidnapper, a man who engaged in the slave trade, a man who routinely raped little girls. Since the Quran tells Muslims to follow Muhammad's example, all good Muslims do so. The religion is despicable. This is the product of Islam. When you tolerate Islam, this is what you get. When you lie for Islam, this is what you get. When you speak on behalf of Islam, this is what you encourage. Dateline, Erbil, Iraq. The Islamic State group said that it enslaved families from the minority Yazidi sect after overrunning their villages, said that they had done so following Mohammed's example throughout northern Iraq. And they praised what they had done, saying that it was a, this article says from Reuters, an ancient custom of using women and children as spoils of war. No. Now, I want to tell you that, yes, there are situations where the Romans, the Persians, the Greeks, the Carthaginians, the Spartans, where they, in fact, used women and children as spoils of war. Not uncommon in human history. The thing that makes this different is that while there have been political leaders and military leaders who have been depraved, there has never been a popular religion that has been this depraved. This is a direct product of Islam. It's what the Quran endorses. Is the one of the reasons I am so frustrated in an effort to educate people so that they have some understanding of the forces operating around the world. This Reuters article, written by someone who is jaundiced, duplicitous, ignorant, irrational. The next sentence says, in an article in its English language online magazine, Dabiq, the group, this would be, although they have not identified the group would be the Islamic State, provides what it says is religious justification for the enslavement of defeated idolaters. Now, it's not what they say is religious justification. If you had read the damn thing, you would have realized that they quote the Quran and Hadith, that they cite the example of Muhammad. It's not what they say. It's what the Quran says. It's what the Hadith says. Then this gets even worse. And again, the major news sources publish as much misinformation as they do accurate information. In fact, I would say there's more misinformation than there is accurate information. It's like a politician. There's more lies than truth. It's like a military officer's. More lies than truth. Certainly a case of religious clerics. More lies than truth. This says, the ancient custom of enslavement had fallen out of use because of deviation from true Islam, but was revived when fighters overran the Yazidi villages in Iraq's Sinjar region. Bull. As an absolute and total lie, it was not an ancient custom. But it is the approved behavior of Islam. It is the example of Muhammad. It is what Muhammad did. Wake up, people. He led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. 73 of the 75 were aggressive. 100% of them were against civilians. And in each of them, he allowed those who engaged with him, his fellow jihadists, to kidnap whoever they wanted, to rob whomever they wanted, to enslave whomever they wanted, to rape whomever they wanted. The Quran even endorses it. The Hadith revels in it. It's not an ancient custom, but instead the practice of Muhammad. And it can't deviate from true Islam because the only true Islam is the example of Muhammad. Muhammad is the basis of the Quran. He's the basis of the Hadith. He's the basis of Sharia. He is Islam. To say that this had fallen out of favor because it was deviated from true Islam, and that this was an ancient practice that had nothing to do with Islam, is to be completely ignorant, to be wholly and totally dishonest, to be a pathetic individual who was aiding and abetting the very kidnapping and rape of these little girls by disassociating the behavior from the religion that inspires it and endorses it. This is disgusting. They didn't revive it. It's been part of Islam for 1,400 years. You know, if you're going to write about a subject and pretend to be a journalist, the least you could do is read about the subject. Read about Muhammad's life. Come to know the truth so that you can convey the truth. If you can't tell the truth, then shut up. Quote, after capture, the Yazidi women and children were then divided according to Sharia among the fighters of the Islamic State who participated in the Sinjar operations. After one-fifth of the slaves were transferred to the Islamic State's authority to be divided as khums, it said. Khums is a traditional tax on the spoils of war. No, it isn't. Muhammad's example. Every time that Muhammad's henchmen plundered a community, Muhammad got one-fifth, 20% for himself.